2 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 6. Second Kings chapter 18. And it says, "Now it came about in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah. He also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the sons of Israel burned incense to it, and it was called Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. For he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses." Let's pray this morning. God, I just thank you for this morning that we can come and seek after you, Father. We just give you this time as we just really want to know more of who you are, Father. And I pray that you would just use me to just speak your word this morning, and that you would just speak into each and every one of our hearts, God. And so all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see here, we learn about the beginning of the reign of Hezekiah, who ruled over the kingdom of Judah sometime around 700 BC. And we see here that his rule follows his father, King Ahaz, who, for lack of a better word, he was a bad king. You know, he was, it says that he did what was displeasing in the eyes of the Lord, exact opposite of the phrasing we see here. And let me just read from you from 2 Chronicles. It says he followed, this is in reference to King Ahaz, Hezekiah's father. It says he followed the ways of the kings of Israel and also made idols for worshiping the Baals. It said that he sacrificed his children in the fire, engaging in detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the high places, on the hilltops, and under every spreading tree. And King Hezekiah, actually, what he did was one of the great of his many sins that he did was he actually closed the doors of the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And so, basically, he stopped all worship of God during the time of his reign and raised up idols all over his kingdom. And so, when Hezekiah becomes king, you know, the kingdom is in shambles. Basically, everything that was part of who Israel was, this idea of being God's chosen people, all remnants of that were actually systematically being replaced or had already been replaced. You know, this is a period of time when there's chaos. Actually, the kingdom of Israel and Judah, they were separate at this time, and Israel had already been invaded. They'd already been, in many ways, most of the people of Israel, been put into exile. And right now, here stands Hezekiah, king over his new nation, this new king, and the enemy is at his doorstep. The king of Assyria is ready to invade. You know, at this time, you know, many of the nations have been trying to give tribute to try to stop this, but, you know, one by one, the cities around this kingdom are being invaded by this foreign force. And so, you know, you look at this, and today I just really want to look at, you know, what was Hezekiah's reaction to all this? You know, what was his action? And one of the things that we realize is that, you know, his kingdom is in shambles. You know, the enemy is at his doorstep. And the first thing that Hezekiah decides to do, his first action as king, is actually his first priority is to reopen the house of the Lord. So he opens the doors of the temple. He cleans up everything that was in there. Basically, we're talking the entire reign of Ahaz, it's been unused. It's just been an empty building. And so he goes in there, he cleanses it. You know, in fact, he reinstates the priests, and they go in, and actually they take days of cleansing. They go through the whole cleansing process again through the house of the Lord. And systematically, they go through the city, and they have to actually undo. So much of Hezekiah's beginning is undoing what his father did. He has to go, and each of the altars to these foreign idols, they have to go and they have to break them down. They have to go to the house of the Lord. They have to cleanse every part of it because it has been defiled in many ways. And so Hezekiah, his first priority, he restores the house of the Lord. The second thing he does after all of this, after this whole process, is that he actually reinstates the celebration of the Passover feast. And so during this time, not only did they close the doors of the temple, but all practices that they used to have, they just stopped them. And so you see here that he reinstates the celebration of the Passover. And the Passover is actually quite significant because, you know, many of us may know that Passover is actually also called the Day of Atonement. And so as we see here, you know, it's, as I was reading this, you know, one of the interesting things is that, you know, Hezekiah, his first two actions, his first priority, in fact, was to restore his relationship with the Lord, his nation's relationship with the Lord. And so he opens the temples. He undoes the work of the idols that were placed up throughout the city. And he sets up again the celebration, which is sort of the repentance, the Day of Atonement, the day of atoning for mistakes that they've throughout the year, or in this case, throughout this whole generation, this whole period. You know, as I was thinking about this, you know, as I was thinking about this, these actions of Hezekiah, I thought about, you know, even for our own lives, even for myself, you know, many times I think that our tendency, is we tend to focus so much on the problems that are ahead of us in terms of, you know, you look at Hezekiah and you look at his actions and you look at his kingdom and the state of that time. And for me, the logical thing, you know, I'm a king of a kingdom and a foreign body is coming to invade. The logical thing for me would be to set up defenses with the strength in the walls, bring more soldiers and train more soldiers, get them ready for battle. But we see Hezekiah, his first action is not that at all. And for many of us, I think, you know, we many times in my own life, you know, there are problems that surround me. You know, sometimes, you know, back when I used to work, you know, there'd be deadlines I had to meet that are not being met, that are behind, or things that I want to get done that are not going, or relationships that I have with people that are just not working out. There's something that's wrong. There's something that's a pressing issue. And, you know, we look at that and we try to face these problems one at a time. You know, we try to fix the problem itself. In many ways, it's the symptom itself of the problem. You know, if we have a bad relationship with a person, you know, we try to fix whatever immediate problem there is. You know, they say, you know, this is kind of embarrassing, but you know, like, you know, I'm dating right now, and sometimes, you know, I get yelled at. You know, like we have fights, we'll have arguments, and it'll be something like, for example, I didn't open the door for her, and she's like, "You don't care for me. You didn't open the door for me. You know, what is this?" And we'll have a big fight, and I'm like, "No, there are thousands of times where I've opened the door for you. And this is the one time I didn't, and now you're yelling at me. What is going on?" You know, and you realize that, you know, many times these problems, you know, we try to face that particular situation, we try to face that particular issue, when in fact, as you could see, that Hezekiah's actions, I think many times it's a good example to show us that, you know, that we need to seek after God first. You know, it says that we need to seek after his kingdom and his righteousness first, and all these things will be added unto us. But how many times do we do it the other way around? Where the other things, we try to handle that first, and then we say, okay, God, after I handle this situation, then I'll seek after you. You know, how many times do we kind of, you know, we have a problem at work, and how many times do we say, okay, I'm gonna read my Bible, I'm gonna do my QT, but I need to finish this work first, I need to do this deal first, I need to finish off this issue first. But here we see that Hezekiah, his actions show us that, you know, he really sought after God first. He knew that the core of his problems, the core of his kingdom's issues, was not the fact that, you know, the enemy was coming at the door. It was not the fact that his kingdom is in shambles and everyone's in chaos and in fear. It's the fact that, you know, they're not seeking after God. They were not seeking after God. And we see that his first thing is, you know, you need to break down what is in our life right now. You know, what is around us? What is in the kingdom? What is in our life, in our own kingdom, in our lives right now, that we've set up as sort of idols all throughout, and we haven't even noticed it. And we need to take down those things first. You know, whether it be work, whether it be relationships, whether it be You know, even simple things like little pleasures that we have, like TV shows, these things that we set up as idols around us that detract us from worship of God. And instead, we need to seek after God first. And I think, you know, if we continue reading about this situation, you know, and this process of restoration, and actually the name Hezekiah actually means he who strengthens. And so it's very appropriate that he is the one who strengthens, re-strengthens the nation of Judah here. And we see that when he restored the celebration of the Passover, when the people came and they gave their sacrifices and they came in, actually there was a great celebration. It's an amazing celebration. In fact, it was as great a celebration as any before it. In fact, as it says in 2 Chronicles earlier, it says that it says that there has been no other celebration like it since the time of Solomon. In fact, the people were so worshipful, so excited, so happy to be worshiping God again, that actually the Passover feast, they extended an additional week, so that even more, the people, they stayed there for 2 weeks instead of the normal one Passover week, because they were so in this moment of worship. And I think I look at this and I see that, you know, many times as a worship leader, you know, I think if you ask any worship leader, one of the greatest difficulties of being a worship leader is choosing songs for a time of worship. You know, for me personally, as soon as I know that I'm up for worship, the first thing that I think is, oh no, what songs am I going to choose? And many times that's what I do. And, you know, and there was a period of time actually earlier this year when I was serving in a lot of different areas of worship. You know, I was serving in Sunday worship. I was doing house church worship. I was also doing Friday night, the river worship. And all these different areas of worship. And, you know, sometimes it just, you know, you would come there, you would lead worship, and you wouldn't have that connection with God. I wouldn't feel the connection with God. I'd have a tough time trying to, feeling it in my heart. You know, am I really worshiping God? And tough time choosing these songs. And every song kind of felt the same. It kind of felt monotonous. It kind of felt like, oh, we sang that song last time. And it became almost a formula. Like, how many times have we sang this song this year? They're probably sick of it and trying to anticipate it, you know. And also kind of feeling like, oh, I don't like that song. I'm not going to sing that one. Or, you know, and making it very personal. And God really convicted me at that time. He really said, you know, you're leading worship, but are you worshiping in yourself, in your own personal life? And, you know, I think this not only applies for worship leaders, but I think for all of us, you know, many of us, we come to church, and I think for many of us here, you know, we serve, or we're in an area of service, or we have a sort of a way that we seek after, serve in God's kingdom. But sometimes it just doesn't seem to be working, you know. Sometimes we can do the same thing and it seems dry. And I realized, you know, for myself, you know, I had to seek after God. I had to really sit down and just be like, you know, for me, I love worshiping on guitar. I used to do it for hours at a time, you know, just on my own personal time. But now that I was serving in so many different things, now that I had so many responsibilities to do it, I wasn't doing it in my personal life. I was doing it in a public setting like this, but I wasn't doing it in a personal life. And I think that many ways, even for us at EMP, I think the danger, even I found for myself, or it might be for some of you too, is that, you know, we come here, and during EMP, oh, we're really good to read the word, you know, really good to pray during that time. But let's say one day we don't come to EMP, or for a period of time we don't come to EMP, do we still continue on that habit? You know, is that something that we do? Is that something that we do out of our own selves, or is it something that we do out of habit, or we do out of these situations? To say that, you know, these things like worship leading, or coming to EMP, coming to church even, in many ways, these are forms, these are venues, these are opportunities to do things that we already should be doing, which is seeking after God first. And so just going back to the worship, my experience with worship is that when I did seek after God first, not that I was trying to choose songs by just methodically thinking about them, you know, this song, how many times have we sung it, or, you know, is this new, how many new songs are we doing, how many hymns are we doing, instead of thinking of like that, looking at these songs and really seeking after God and just worshiping Him through the songs. And I found that when I worshiped after God and really just focused on God and said, God, these are just songs that I just want to sing to you, that He would reveal it naturally. That He would reveal these sets naturally. And many times I wouldn't even have to worry about the sets. He'd be like, these are the songs you need to do. is this confidence that he gave me. And I think for many of us, you know, we look at Hezekiah's actions. We look at, you know, he really sought after the Lord first, you know, in repentance, in cleansing of his own life, in cleansing of his own kingdom. And from that, the worship that sometimes we have, that his country had so much difficulty, that his nation had so much difficulty doing, it just came really naturally. And I think for us as well, too, I feel that for many of us, we need to have that attitude where we need to seek after God first. You know, sometimes we may feel that our worship is very dry, or our Sunday services, you know, come to church and we're not getting fed. But the fact is that are we really cleansing our hearts? Are we really seeking after God? Are we really asking for that repentance? Are we worshiping him first? So that when all these situations in our life, you know, whether it's work, whether it's even church, whether it's, you know, relationships, that's when those things, I think, they fall into place. And we have to have, when we have faith in that, because basically God said it, you know, in his word. And, you know, I look at King Hezekiah and, you know, it says here in verse 18, in chapter 18, it says, he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. But Hezekiah was not a perfect king. In fact, he made mistakes. You know, in fact, one of his major mistakes is later in the same chapter that it says that he was one of the greatest kings of Judah. I'll actually read it for you in verse 13 of the same chapter. It says, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, it said, the king of Assyria came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will bear. So the king of Assyria acquired Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Hezekiah gave him all the silver which was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. At the time, Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the doorposts, which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. So this is a typical bonehead move. You know, this is what we see. I mean, he spent all this time rebuilding the temple of God, rebuilding the house of the Lord. And we see here in the 14th year, which is not too much longer if you look at it, he takes it all down and gives it all to the king of Assyria. So he's trusting in the Lord, trusting the Lord. Suddenly, the Assyrians are about to invade, and he just gives it all away. And in fact, his own father, if we look in 2 Chronicles, he does the same thing. Ahaz took some of the things from the temple of the Lord and from the royal palace, from the officials, and presented them to the king of Assyria, but that did not help him. And in the same way, Hezekiah, when he gave this gold, it didn't actually stop the king of Assyria at all. He continued on. He's like, oh, thanks for the gold. I'm just going to keep on going in, because he sees that the victory is right at hand. You know, this weakened, he sees the King Hezekiah, the nation of Judah, and he sees, oh, they're weak. They're giving in so easily. They even gave from their temple, and he's coming in. But the next thing that we see is actually the difference. You know, Ahaz and Hezekiah, they did their first reaction is very, very similar. They gave from the temple to try to stop this invading force. But after doing that and seeing that it didn't work, their reactions were very different. Ahaz, it says, he offered sacrifices to the gods of Damascus who had defeated him. These are the very gods that actually the Assyrians worshipped. And he turns, and instead of worshiping God or seeking after repentance or seeking after God's help, he seeks after the very same gods that his enemies are worshipping. But we see that in Hezekiah's case, he seeks after the Lord. He really seeks after the Lord. What you see later in this chapter and in chapter 19 is that he actually goes and repents before the Lord. And in fact, he asks Isaiah the prophet to intercede on his behalf. And together they pray to the Lord. And as we see in chapter 19, verse 35, it said that as the enemy was surrounding the Israelites, you know, Hezekiah sought after the repentance of the Lord, and the Lord responded. And in response, it says, then it happened that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men rose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead. And so God gave them victory. God gave Judah victory over the enemy in a supernatural way. You know, he sent his angel to attack and to destroy and defeated the enemy. And I think for many, you know, and for us as well too, you know, we talked about all these things, you know, about cleansing, about repentance, about restoration. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, there are times when we will repent for something, a sin, and then immediately, maybe the next day, maybe even the next hour, we go back and do it right over again. You know, and many times this can be discouraging. You know, we're so discouraged by our own sin. We're often so discouraged by our own uncleanliness. You know, I did all these things to try to cleanse it. I think all these things I repented before the Lord, and yet I still can't seem to get over this sin. I still seem to fall into the same traps, not only of my own self and my own habits, but even, you know, in this case, you know, even the sins of my own father. And yet God is so faithful. He's so faithful to the kingdom of Judah that even though Hezekiah made the same mistake of his father, that because of his reaction, because God knows that, you know, Hezekiah is not a perfect man. There's no such thing as a perfect man. And he knows his imperfection. And when Hezekiah comes in repentance, God comes and he saves in a supernatural way. And as we close, can we just turn back to chapter 18 again and look at verse 3? And this is the description of Hezekiah. And it says, he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. And I looked at this and it took me back for a second. You know, it says, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah. And then suddenly here we see it says that he did right in the sight of the Lord or according to his father. Wasn't his father Ahaz? And suddenly here we see that his father is be called David. And I think one of the things, and for here, it's this idea that, you know, even though Hezekiah is indeed the son, the biological son of his father Ahaz, that when because he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, because he modeled after King David, the greatest king of the nation of Israel. You know, he, in the same way that he followed what was David's path, you know, they said that David is a man after God's own heart. And we all recall that David, you know, he had his own huge mistake. And yet David, in the same way, his reaction was to repent. And we can see here that, you know, I think for many of us, you know, we look at the sins that are habitual in our life. We look at even the sins of our fathers. You know, we look at the sins of our families and we see these things. And sometimes often we think, you know, we look at Hezekiah and we think, oh, he's doomed to make the same mistakes as his father. Or he already made the same mistakes as his father. But that when he really sought after repentance, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, not to say that he didn't make any mistakes, but that when he did make mistakes, he sought after the Lord. And that because as a result of that, in God's eyes, you know, even though Hezekiah was born to Ahaz, he is considered the child of David, the natural heir of David. And you see that his father, to all that his father David had done. And so for us as well too, I think that, we face the remnants, you know, in our flesh of our sin. You know, even though we've come into this repentance, we come into grace, you know, we still every day we battle sin, we face, you know, the reality that we do make these same mistakes that we've done maybe all of our lives. And yet we are no longer the children of sin. You know, we're no longer a product of who we once were. That no longer is our father merely our biological father. No longer is our mother merely our biological mother. And no longer are we the same person that we were in the past, our history. That it doesn't follow this natural human way of looking at this natural progression. But that here we see that it, in a spiritual sense, that when we come into this salvation, that we no longer are children of our mother and father, but really we are children of God. Yeah. Thanks, Ben. And so this morning, just as we close and as we come into our time of worship, let's just really spend some time. I think spend some time just really seeking after the Lord this morning. And for those of us, you know, those of us who are like Hezekiah at the beginning of his reign are facing so many different problems. You know, let's really come before the Lord and really ask him, you know, for his grace, his mercy, his repentance. Let's just really come to him in repentance. And even if we've had that time already, or in our lives, we feel like we've had this time of repentance, of cleansing, you know, whether that's in our own personal lives as we come into Christ, or whether that's through Cascade, or whether that's through any other way of, you know, even even if we've made mistakes even after that, or even if we continue to make mistakes, let's have trust in the Lord, who has adopted us as sons and daughters into his kingdom. And let's really seek after the Lord this morning as we come into a time of worship.
Stir these stagnant waters of my soul. Merge me with your river, which brings of all the right words to say that will provoke you to want me anymore than you already do. Stir these stagnant waters. Stir these stagnant waters of my soul. Merge me with your river, which brings of all the right words to say that will provoke you to want me anymore than you already do. So won't you love like a father. You love like a father, love like a brother, love like a lion, fierce like no other. You violently chase me down to embrace me, engulf me in who you are. Embrace me, engulf me in who you are. pour out your spirit, pour out your spirit. Lord, won't you come? Come like you promised, and pour out your spirit, pour out your spirit. You love like a father, you love like a brother, you love like a lion, fierce like no other. You violently chase your spirit. Lord, won't you come? Come like you promised. We need your spirit. Lord, we need your spirit.
This morning, let's continue to pray for our community. Let's just really continue to pray for those with cancer, those who are going through chemo, and those who are waiting for transplants. And let's just really pray that, that God's Spirit really come upon them, that He would come with His healing hand upon our brothers and sisters. Also continue to pray for those who are suffering through illnesses, but also really need that word of salvation and that God to come. And let's just ask the Spirit to rest over each and every one of them, not only through healing, but also through that true healing of the salvation of their souls. Let's pray for them. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from other illnesses and other diseases. Let's also pray for those in our community who are looking for jobs, and that God will continue to prepare and provide a place for them.
Let's turn today to today's mission focus. And let's really pray for our local ministries here in Hong Kong. Let's also continue to pray for our church's mission committee, and let's just really pray that God would continue to give them wisdom as they seek out opportunities and ways that our church can be involved with the work that God is doing overseas. Let's also pray for our local outreach ministries here at church, our community center, the Agape, the Homie Ministry, SP Lights, as well as the Prison Ministry. And let's just really pray that God would continue to pour out grace and continue to even provide workers for these ministries from our own church. Let's also pray for our city of Hong Kong. Let's just pray for this city as we continue on. Finally, let's pray for tonight's activities. Let's pray for the IP meeting for college group. Let's also pray for the missions training that will be going on led by PUG tonight. Let's pray for that. So Lord, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for just your grace unto us, that even though we sometimes make mistakes, sometimes even after you have done a work in our hearts, that even though sometimes we still make mistakes, yet you are faithful, God, to forgive. And so I pray that we would continue to seek after you, Lord, seek after you first, so that whatever situations we may face in this life, Lord, that we know that we can lead them up to you. And so, God, I pray that you would continue to be with us, continue to stir in us, God, just a greater passion for your name, that we would just continue to practice your presence, Lord, in our daily lives, in every situation that we are, in every place that we are, God, that we would remember you and who you are and what you've done for us. And so, God, we thank you. And all this we pray in your most precious name. Amen. Thanks.